evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Well, tonight, we're going to do something just a little bit different. We've been doing a lot of country music, a lot of rock and roll, and plenty of blues. Well, tonight, we're going to salute Native American music and the culture of the Native Americans because we are, in fact, coming up on Thanksgiving. Let's face it, the indigenous people of this country are the ones that welcomed the European settlers and made it all possible for us to survive in the wild. And joining us in just a few minutes will be Paul LaRoche, and he is with Brulé, a national, international Native American musical group. And we have met Paul through Charlie Smith. Charlie, of course, a regular here on the show. She's a former actress, model, and former Miss Indiana, and she's very tied in with a special cause. So, Charlie, hello.
Hi, Paul. How are you tonight? I'm Paul Tom.
Paul will join us in a moment.
I'm thinking of Paul. Sorry about that.
I'm the one with the face for radio. That's He's right. The good-looking one. All right. We're here to talk, first of all, about a coat drive that you're doing.
Correct.
Now, you're going to collect coats and jackets and sweaters in a variety of different areas here in Northwest Indiana, and you're sending them to South Dakota. Now, pick up the story from there.
Okay. I, as most people know, am very, very interested in the Native American culture. I have been since I was a child, living back here in Indiana. And one of my great loves is the Native Americans and the journey that they have been on. Pine Ridge Reservation is a Sioux reservation in Bennett, Jackson, and Shannon counties, and it's located in the southwest corner of South Dakota. It's only 50 miles east of the Wyoming border. It's an 11,000 square mile, over 2 million acres of Pine Ridge, and is the second largest Native American reservation within the United States. It's roughly the size of the state of Connecticut, but it's a very, very, very poor community. And their poverty rate is unbelievable. So what I'm doing this year is starting a coat drive, and I'm asking all of your listeners if they will please, please donate coats, jackets, sweaters that I can take to the reservation with Kathy, who we'll be talking to tonight later on. And the two of us are going to drive to Pine Ridge, and I'll tell you about that because that's quite exciting coming up too.
All right. And of course, Kathy, that you referenced, is from Wolf Creek Habitat, and that ties into the coat drive. She's sponsoring it with you. And let's talk first of all about places they can drop it off. So right now we've got Hobart High School in Hobart, Indiana. That's a school drop off that you can take it to the front office. Hebron High School in Hebron, obviously, and you can take it to there. We are also doing Front Porch Music in Valparaiso. Chad Clifford over there has opened his store to as a collection point. And we've got a few more that we're going to be adding throughout the week. Now, hopefully all the boxes and all the locations will be in stone and distributed by the end of this week at the latest. But you're only doing this till the 1st of December. I mean, you're collecting this
Correct.
In November.
Correct. We're going to give the coats as Christmas presents to the Native Americans. And we have made a connection with an elder on the reservation that I spoke to tonight. He's quite excited. The people are going to be given the coats. It's going to be done at a giving ceremony that will take place. Now, one of the things I found out in my research is that sometimes people collect these coats, but I was told that some people charge for the coats. So when I was talking with a lady from the One Nation Walking Together, she is based in Denver, Colorado. She is helping me get in touch with this elder at the reservation. He will be meeting us, and Kathy and I will be distributing the coats right to the people. So I'm really excited about that.
Now, not only are you helping the Native Americans, you are also getting a little competition going. Now, there's some prizes you're offering, too.
Yes.
Tell us a little about that, and then we're going to play some music and bring Paul on.
Okay. What we're doing is that the person who brings in the most coats and jackets is going to be eligible to win a $100 gift certificate to visit the Wolf Habitat in Brookville, Indiana. I was down there recently, and I'm going to tell you something. If you're not into being loved, kissed, hugged, just absolutely smothered in kisses, don't go, because these wolves just come at you, and they just smother you with love. It's an unbelievable experience. And Kathy, the owner of the Wolf Sanctuary, was nice enough to take me through to meet all these wolves, and I loved it. I just can't say enough good things about it. So the winner, whoever brings in the most coats, will get a $100 gift certificate to go to the Wolf Sanctuary. Second prize for the person who brings in the second most coats will get a $25 gift certificate to go to the Wolf Sanctuary. So we've got some nice prizes.
We're also going to be doing some Elvis tickets because, of course, you starred in a couple of Elvis films. And Elvis was a Cherokee. His great-great-grandmother was Mourning White Dove, and she died 100 years to the day he was born.
So I had no clue, so you told me that. I didn't star in the films. I was one of the dancers and a bit actress. But you
know
what?
Were in the films.
Yeah, at least I got to stand next to him, and he even kissed me, so that's my claim to fame.
One of many. So we've got Omar Farag and Brenda Hatfield, and they are donating tickets, and we're going to do a special free drawing at each location that someone's going to get to win some tickets to go to the Elvis show, which, of course, you'll be there signing books.
That's right. We've
so
got 10
there's
tickets.
There's that connection there.
We've got 10 tickets.
10 pair.
10 pairs of tickets, right, I'm sorry, at the Star Plaza on December 2nd. They're doing an Elvis tribute, and it's the last show at the Star Plaza, so it's going to be really, really a big event for all you Elvis lovers out there. So we hope you come out.
The kids at the different schools at Hebron and at Hobart and perhaps some of the other schools that we're still waiting to hear back from are also competing for pizza parties.
Pizza parties,
so the class that does the most is getting a pizza party. The kid that brings in the most will also qualify for the Wolf ticket.
So, I mean, that's it.
It's a cool thing, and the bottom line is it's helping people at a time when they need help because it's going to be mighty cold in South Dakota.
Exactly. And you know what I found out recently, Paul? And this is Paul.
I'm
I keep
Tom.
Calling you Paul, Tom.
He'll be here in 30 seconds, I
Paul's
promise
on my
you.
Mind. What can I say? I recently found out that the average income at Pine Ridge is only $2,600 a year. A year.
Wow.
That breaks down to $216 a month or $7.22 a day to live on. Now, if that's a family of four, I don't know about you, but I go to McDonald's a lot, and my meal usually runs me about $10, okay? Each person would be allowed $1.80.
You split a fry.
You know?
That's crazy.
Is that sad?
That's crazy.
So these people need our help.
Well, let's play some music in just a moment. Paul LaRoche is going to tell us all about the group, which has been featured here on PBS television. Brulé is the group, and they've starred in Live at Mount Rushmore, a concert for reconciliation of the cultures. But let's play a song, and this is one that Paul has asked us to play, and one that happens to be your favorite. You want to introduce it?
Oh, I love this song. It's called Buffalo Moon.
I'm
This is Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. And that is Brulé. And a beautiful song called Buffalo Moon. And that's off the album We the People. Now, a lot of my listeners, when we say Native American music, they're thinking Redbone, you know, or Blackfoot, which is, you know, rock with that's made by Native Americans. This has a lot more of the traditional sound. And we have with us right now the guy that formed the group, the guy that runs the group, Paul Roche.
Dom, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on your show. I'm honored to be your guest.
And I'll tell you, we were just sitting here kind of mellowing out to that song, just talking about... I used to play a lot of Native American music when I was doing meditation when I was younger and was in martial arts. And I just found the flute and some of the wind sounds and the different... It's like you capture the elements in your music. And that seems to be a trademark of many of the Native American artists that I've heard.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the wonderful compliment. You know, we're working hard. Our group is working hard at trying to forge out what we call contemporary American Indian music. Now, there's a whole story behind that. We can talk about that a bit more, Tom, but it's been a delicate process, and it's a process that I kind of affectionately refer to as pioneering one of the last musical frontiers.
Now, what's the actual story of how you got this group together? And as I understand, I was doing a little reading on the group. You're not using, like, the wood flutes. You're using, like, a classical flute. Is that correct?
It is. I mean, there's a long story behind that, Tom. I'll try to give you, if you're okay, I'll try to give you the five-minute version.
Yeah.
I'll try to keep it to three of our life story. So here we go.
Okay.
I was one of the Native American children who was adopted at birth and removed from our country's reservation system. Now, as fate would have it, I wound up in the loving care of two very beautiful and wonderful parents. I grew up as part of a small, white, middle-class farming community in southwest Minnesota. The strange twist in our story here is that I was never told of my true American Indian heritage.
Mm.
Now, it was taboo back in earlier days for families to openly proclaim that. That's all changed these days. But back then, it was still very common for families to sweep that genealogy and that family heritage under the rug. The years went by. I was told I was adopted. I knew that. But they left out the bigger component. They told me I was French-Canadian, which was partially correct. The years went by, Tom, and at the age of 38, I have the best of memories, too, as a young boy. It was a good time to grow up in the heartland. At the age of 38, I lost both parents within a very short period of time, within the same year, within a couple of weeks. And it was my wife, Kathy, while going through their personal belongings, came across an envelope that contained some information about my adoption that had taken place years earlier. She knew that there was great significance to that. She began a search. Unbeknownst to me, it took her 5 years.
Hmm.
But it was 2 weeks before Thanksgiving of the year 1993 when I received a phone call that evening. And there on the other end of the line was a gentleman who introduced himself as my biological brother. She had completed the search. She had found my family and connected us up by phone, in which exchanged our life stories. Neither of us had known the other had existed all those years. And so you can imagine what happens in a short conversation. Your life changes in a period of time. And my brother, at the end of the conversation, he said something that forever changed the course of destiny. And he just said, come on home. And so that Christmas, we went to the reservation and had our homecoming. And that was the beginning of the Brulé journey.
Wow. What exactly do you mean when you say contemporary Native American music?
Well, Tom, you'll appreciate this. I know that you've covered all kinds of music with your program over the years. If I were to just do a quick overview of the Native American music scene, it really falls into two categories. We have Native artists, musicians, who perform other types of musical genres that we're familiar with. You mentioned a couple, Redbone. You know, they were a pop rock group, and we have many other artists who perform jazz, classical, rock, folk. I can go right down the line, and they're great artists. But we also have a handful of Native artists and musicians who are trying to perform a style of music that maintains kind of a cultural flair, a cultural spirit, a cultural sound to the music, so that we can contain that part of our culture in the music. There's just a small handful of groups. Brulé is in that category, and that little subcategory is further divided by what we call our traditional music or the powwow music. Now, the powwow music is a very healthy category. It's performed all over the country and attracts hundreds, thousands of people. The contemporary, more modern sound is very unique. It's very rare. And as a matter of fact, we're carving it out as we speak at this time. So that's where Brulé has landed, in that little category of trying to carve out what we call contemporary American Indian music.
Would the powwow music be what I remember seeing as a child in the Wisconsin Dells when we go to the different dance concerts?
Absolutely, Tom. You're absolutely correct on that. And that's what most Americans would identify with when it comes to Native American music. I mean, that's what resonates in their minds, and that's the sound that they're most familiar with. You ask me about us using that the contemporary flute. There's so many delicate issues that come with us when we work in this area of contemporary American Indian music. For instance, the wood flute, which is the most commonly associated instrument in the Native American culture, is still a bit taboo for the women to play, to use the traditional wood flute. Not in all the tribes, but in the Lakota tribe, of which I'm a member, or Sioux, Lakota, it's the same thing. It's still a bit taboo for the woman to play the wood flute because it was the male courting instrument in earlier days. And so we've respected that old tradition, and my daughter, Nicole, uses the classical flute like you would see in bands or orchestras, and then she's emulated the sound of the wood flute, and in so doing, she's carved out a signature sound for herself and kind of a trademark sound for Brulé. And at the same time, we've kept that respect for that old tradition of the wood flute.
What does the name Brulé mean?
It's a French word that means burnt, like creme brulee. I mean, that's what people commonly ask me about. The word burnt, it's got a lot to do with an old legend of ours where our French-Canadian friends, who we had very close relationships with over the years because we're a northern tribe. Our French-Canadian friends many times observed our young warriors carrying the women and children through and out of prairie fires, and the young men would burn and scorch their legs when they would do that in an attempt to save the children and the women. And so they called us the burnt legs or the burnt thighs, but today it's just come down to burnt. And if you translate that in, you know, from that early description, that just comes out to Brulé, and that's still prevalent to this day.
Pine Ridge Reservation, South Dakota, we were talking about the need and the poverty there and the need for coats, and that's what Charlie is here to talk about as well. How tied in are you with the day-to-day on the reservation? Are you living in that area, or are you living elsewhere?
Well, my reservation, the Lower Brule or Brulé Sioux Reservation, Tom, is about 150 miles east of Pine Ridge, but we're right in the same neck of the woods. I have family and I have friends that live in Pine Ridge, and Charlie's 100% correct. The one thing that she didn't get a chance to say, and I think it should be said, is that, you know, there's a misconception, a great misconception, that floats throughout mainstream America, and that misconception is that many of the Native American tribes have income. They get money from their casinos, and it's such an elaborate false conception. There's really only about less than 3% of the tribes that even issue per capita payments off of the most successful of the American Indian casinos. But you know, when you get out to the northern plains, and especially Pine Ridge, the other thing that Charlie didn't mention is that Pine Ridge is the poorest county in America. It's the poorest county in America. It's America's own third world country. And not that the aid and humanitarian efforts don't flood in out there, you know, Tom, but it's a deeper problem than just sometimes coming in with quick fixes. But at the same time, those people are going through a great peril out there. And when winter comes, the primary needs are things like propane, firewood, warm clothing. I mean, and it just goes unnoticed many years. And so this effort that Charlie's putting together is drastically needed, and I commend her for her efforts, and I think it's going to make a big difference out there.
Now, another thing, and I'm going to get you involved in this conversation at this point, Charlie, is how the two of you came together. She, of course, has a big affection for Native American culture. And if you go to her house, which you have, I'm sure, you see that reflected in the way she decorates her home and some of the things she has. In fact, she's wearing some Native American jewelry here, a lot of it tonight. But how did the two of you get together? And the other thing that you have in common is this love of music, obviously, and she recently donated some of the studio gear from her late husband, Mike Smith, of the Dave Clark Five, that you're going to somehow help her to the reservation or one of the reservations to help nurture musical education with the Native American kids, correct?
That's correct, Tom. You know, let me give you my quick version of this. Charlie came along at a wonderful point in the Brule career, and she can give you a little more detail. But really, we got a call one evening out of the blue. We were performing at one of the casinos in Michigan, and it was Charlie, and she went through this big long story with my wife Kathy, and
poor soul, it was at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't realize.
Well, who is this person?
Yeah, so we were a little apprehensive, but you know, she has that convincing tone in her voice, and it just felt right. Well, anyway, we got together and we hit it off, right, you know, instantly, right away, and you know, it turned into a couple of meetings, and from that point on, it's really blossomed out. And what Charlie is doing here, you know, Tom, we've been at this for almost 24 years, and so I think one of the last chapters in the Brule story, I hate to put it that way, but, you know, we've been at this for so long, we're turning our focus a little different these days. We still are going to record music and perform and tour, but we started a nonprofit, a 501c3 here about 3 years ago, and it's beginning to get some momentum and some wind under the wings. And you know, our whole mission was to turn over this struggle for, you know, for the American Indian culture to have some identity in the entertainment world. Because it's unrecognized by the mainstream music industry, the Native American, contemporary American Indian music especially, it doesn't exist out there with the powers that be that run the music industry, and we're trying to carve that out. But we're running out of time. We've given it almost 25 years, and we realize that the generations behind us are going to have to carry this on, and so we're opening up the doors so those next generations can come in. And part of that process lies with this 501c3 and making it healthy, and Charlie has done some of that. You know, she's donated this entire recording studio, which we're going to reassemble and call it the Mike Smith Studio for Native American Music Studies, and let the kids have a taste of how we did it back in earlier times, and let them continue farming out and trying to carve out this thing that we call contemporary American Indian music. I'm very excited about the possibilities.
That's amazing. Of course, Mike was a wonderful man.
Well, I have a special spot in my heart because, you know, I grew up, I was one of the young kids that was inspired beyond belief when the British music invasion took place. And I mean, I knew all the groups and I could sing all the songs, the Beatles, you know, Dave Clark Five, the Stones, and all of these groups were, you know, this song was just, I mean, it grabbed the imagination of a young kid like myself. And of course, Mike was a keyboardist, which I was back in those days, and so he was like a mentor and idol of mine. And I tried to emulate his style and sound over the years, and so it has a special place. I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams that there would be a connection someday with Charlie and Mike, the Dave Clark Five, and our music. But that's just how cool and strange life can be at the same time. Anyway, it all came together. And, you know, I think that it's rightfully so that Mike's efforts are going to continue on. His legacy is going to carry on, and he'll be able to assist the Native American youth for years to come.
Now, I've got a quick question here, and that is, are the Native American youth embracing their culture? And the reason I ask is, you know, we're in the heart of Chicagoland here, which is a blues capital. And a lot of the older blues artists I speak with are saying they're kind of disappointed because the young folks aren't embracing traditional blues. They're going off and doing dance and hip hop and rap and everything else. Are you finding that to be the same, or are they so, you know, because they haven't had the chance to do this, are they embracing the Native culture?
Well, Tom, it's a big dilemma in our culture as well. Okay. I mean, we have, oh boy, how can I say this? I almost hate to throw this out, but I really should. You know, we have huge problems when it comes to our young kids in Indian country. And up here in the Northern Plains, I'm sad to say that we have got the highest teen suicide rates per capita of anywhere in the country. The kids have no hope. They have no, you know, what happens is they don't have, they're not given inspiration. They've lost their sense of identity. They've lost all sense of hope. Even a group like Brule, Tom, you can't imagine how we struggle to try to get out, to find some way for our group to get out to these small reservation schools where the kids don't get a chance to see or hear anything in the line of music. And so if we can't get there, how do some of the mainstream groups get there? They don't. These kids don't have anything that comes in to inspire them. And I'm just referring to the entertainment world. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think, as music and the arts have always done, that we, you know, given the time and given the resources to get to these kids, that we can capture their imaginations. We can give them a sense of pride that's been missing, and we can give them hope for the future, and we can give them a format and a platform for them to be creative and find an outlet. And I think when that happens, Tom, you'll be surprised and amazed what these young kids can do musically. I can't wait to see it happen.
Speaking of generations, there's a song I want to play right now, and so please stay on the phone with us. So we're going to go back to We the People and Lakota Forever. And again, this is Brule. Check it out, listeners, and we'll be back with Paul a final time after this. Lakota Forever from the CD We the People. That's Brule. We've seen him here on PBS television. Of course, we are NPR Radio, and PBS is our sister affiliate. And Brule Live at Mount Rushmore Concert for Reconciliation of the Cultures has become the longest Native American concert special on national TV. And Paul is our guest. He is the founder, the leader, Paul LaRoche. And Paul, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Tom, thank you for allowing us a little voice to kind of share with your audience what's happening within the Native American culture and the music industry. We've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. And I have great hope for the future. I have great hope for our generation's youth. And thanks to people like Charlie and your radio program and public television, we've been given a format to express our spirituality and to share our music. And we're so thankful. Just want to say thank you.
Do you have any Chicagoland dates coming up? Chicago, Indianapolis, anything in the Midwest here?
You know, I don't know at this time, but we've been to many of the tribal casinos out there in the Michigan area. We've been to Firekeepers and Four Winds, Ottawa, Soaring Eagle, and they contact us regularly. So, you know, I'd like to just say, if anybody's listening, to keep an eye on our tour schedule, and I wouldn't be surprised if we end up at one of those stops again here within the next 6 months, or we're for sure within the next year.
Well, I definitely want you to stay in touch with me, and either through Charlie or directly, because when you do come back through Michigan, I would love to do another show with you and touch on so many other aspects. I've got so many questions for you about your culture and about the music and about where it's heading, but we just don't have a lot of time tonight. Is there anything special about Thanksgiving for you? I mean, we celebrate it every year, but from the Indian culture.
Well, you know, Tom, you kind of touched on it a little bit. There's two ways to look at it. I mean, you can take kind of a hard stance and kind of go anti-Thanksgiving, but I've never done that. You know, my life's journey has steered me towards the healing process, and it's caused me to take what's happened to our culture, and we've come through those growing pains. We've come through America's growing pains, and it's been difficult for the culture, but it's made great headway, and we've done that because we've had help and support, and because the healing process and reconciliation is happening, and that's where I've dedicated my life. So, you know, I would like to just celebrate Thanksgiving like most of us do here in America, a time when we can share our love and our faith with our family, when we can be thankful for all that we have, and most of all, we've got this great country of America that we're all part of. The greatest country in the world. We're proud to be part of that as well.
And Charlie, you said you wanted to comment on the show you saw.
Yes. I can only tell you, and all your listeners, the show is absolutely fantastic. I was so awed by watching the show. Not only does Paul have the presence when he's performing, but he also encourages all his dancers to come out. And the costumes, the color, the music, the rhythm, people were standing time after time after time, giving him standing ovations. And I'm going to tell you something, you don't see that very often nowadays.
No, that's true. All right. Well, Paul, is there a website we can keep up with you at?
Yeah, everything we've done, Tom, 24 years worth of media, stories, videos, pictures, we've compiled it all onto a big, fantastic website. It's Brule, it's www.brule, B-R-U-L-E, records, records.com. Please come there and visit, log on for a while, watch some of our videos, join our mailing list, and help us as we move into the future.
You won't be sorry, I guarantee you.
We'll definitely be in touch real soon. Again, there's so much more we need to explore.
Tom, thanks so much for having me on. Charlie, thank you for all the hard work. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, Paul. See you on the res.
See ya.
All right. And we are here to talk about how Charlie is helping, along with Kathy from Wolf Creek Habitat, raise coats, jackets, sweaters to take to Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And there's just so many ways you can help. There's all different types of areas where you can drop things off. We're going to be giving away Elvis tickets at each location. One lucky winner, a random draw. Just bring one item or 10 items, and you're automatically entered. We're going to give away those Elvis tickets for December 2nd at the Star Plaza Theater. We've also got a wonderful gift certificate that we're going to talk about at Wolf Creek Habitat. And again, that's in Brookville, Indiana. And joining us right now, we have Kathy Bodensteel. I don't know if I said that right, Kathy. Forgive me if I didn't.
That's fine. Hi, Tom. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Past my bedtime.
So how are the wolves hanging tonight, Kathy?
They are doing awesome. It was nice and cold outside. So that's their kind of weather. We're good to 40 below. So they're out there running and playing and having a good time.
Now, how many wolves do you have there?
We have 39 on site. And
wow.
I can't forget Todd, our little fox. But we are an educational facility, so we do every 3 or 4 years do a breeding program if we've lost a few wolves. But besides that, they stay here. They don't go anywhere. And we open our home to let people come out and interact with them and see a wolf that they may never see in their whole life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went on your website earlier, a couple days ago, and that is wolfcreekhabitat.org, and you've got some great videos there of the wolves in the environment, and they just seem to be really happy. I mean, as happy as I imagine wolves can be.
They play with you.
They
you
were
come
playing.
In. Oh, my gosh. They're beautiful.
They were playing with each other. They were interacting with the people. It was really a beautiful thing to see. And Kathy, I've got to wonder, I work with the Humane Society with cats and dogs and domestic creatures. What drove you or made you want to embrace wolves and take care of wolves and rescue them as you have?
Well, early kind of started on with wolf dogs. People were getting them as pets, and as they mature, they they have that fight between the wolf and the dog and who's going to be in charge, and sometimes it gets quite dangerous. And so that's what we found ourselves doing, is taking in the ones that nobody could take care of anymore. And we had a probably about 10, 12 years ago, we had a chance to rescue a pure Arctic wolf pack. And when we did, and as the years went on and we lost the wolf dogs, we just decided that, you know, these guys are so predictable. You know what they're going to do. You know when they're tired, they don't want to be bothered anymore. And I have always loved wolves, and if somebody would have told me 21 years ago that I'd have wolves in my front yard, I'd never believe it. But they are starting now, so I'm going to walk outside.
Oh, boy, are you in for a treat, for listeners. Get ready.
But otherwise, yeah, so really a lot of the wolves out here are descended, you know, from the original wolf pack. We actually had a man from Germany come here. Okay, I'm going to stop. Wait, let me see. Okay.
Kathy does a first howl, and then they all pitch in and sing with her.
In harmony.
Yes, good harmony.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to get it a surround sound, I hope. but anyway, this band from Germany came, and we had given him... Okay, hold on.
There they go. There they go. It's not coming across real clear, but when you're standing there and you're listening to this howling going on, I'll tell you something.
That's
the hair on your arm rises.
Do you hear them?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't understand the people that think that's scary. This most beautiful music. The Cyberlay, of course.
Like Bela Lugosi said, the children of the night, isn't their music beautiful? It is.
Yeah.
It's a haunting. It's like Native American music in a lot of ways. It's a very haunting sound, but it's soothing weird way.
Yeah, and I think the one reason that, you know, that I have these wolves today, because it's such an honor to take care of them. We are on Native land here, and the natives and the wolves are connected. So I think that that's why we've been so blessed with you know, me being able to take care of these guys. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do ceremonies there, correct? Native American ceremonies?
We have one every year in October. And they have, we don't call it a powwow because we don't do the things that powwows do. But we do have the dancing and the drums and flutes and everything. And this year was supposed to be our last year, but everybody talked me back into it. But we had 3,000 people in just one day.
Wow.
And if you could see our place, we're small. So don't ask us where they parked. We're not real sure.
But why don't we add, too, that the local police were so impressed by what you do that next year they said that they would help you with the parking situation.
They don't even local police. They're up in the north, or kind of a north. East part of Indiana. They're not even our local police.
Wow.
So, but yes, they've given their word that they're going to help us with parking next year and shuttle people in, I guess.
Now, what is the point or the goal of the gathering, as you call it? Is it to raise awareness and raise funds? Because
we do not know. Everything is free. We do not charge. But yes, it's to give that awareness to people about the Native American culture that that they don't, again, like with the wolf, there's things that they don't see and they don't connect with. And it's amazing. This year we actually had Delbert Charette here, and he's one of the last. He's one of the last survivors of Pearl Harbor. So that was quite an honor too. And you know, we're just a small little place. So yeah, 3,000 people's a lot, but it's good. People do walk away and they say, oh, I can't wait to come back next year.
Right.
Well, and I'm sweating and going, oh, gosh.
What time do the wolves get up? I mean, what time do you have to be ready with their breakfast? I mean, they sound like they're kind of demanding. I wouldn't want to make them angry.
You know, we first of all, we get in bed, we brush their teeth to be sure everybody's teeth are nice clean. And then I start with their breakfast. Yeah, right, Tom.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to add something too, that for your listeners that are concerned about taking small children, she does have a balcony that you can walk across, and the kids
we
can see.
We call it our wolf walk.
The wolf walk, right, there you go.
Yes.
And the kids can actually see the wolves playing and interacting in that. But for the more adventurous ones, they can go down and Kathy will take them into the wolf pens to meet the wolves.
That would be, okay, I would do that.
You just hesitated, and that's what
yeah.
we try to do here is educate people that these are not man killers.
Right.
No, they're not. They're like the Native American people. They get such a bad rap.
One of the things, and it's interesting you said that point because it's something I want to bring out. The first date I had with my wife, we got along because we both love animals and we do a lot of rescue work. We went to the movies. Well, we went to see The Grey. And I left angry because it was so misleading, so wrong, so factually incorrect. We just loved Liam Neeson, so we went to see it. But it was like, what was that?
There's a lot. I don't want to go into it on the air, but there's a lot of things people don't know about that movie. But a lot of us boycotted it, and it wasn't in the theaters very long.
No, it wasn't.
And so, you know, yes, that was the worst misconception. And even though all the wolves are computer generated, it still shows them in a bad light, you know. So that's what we do here. We let people that are scared to death, you know, and when they come out, they're crying, and then we've done our job.
Well, there's a smaller wolf place. I'm not sure if they're a sanctuary or what they are, but it's in Indiana here. It's, I can't think.
Wolf Park,
yeah. Yes. And yes. So because we were both so upset by that movie, our third date was going to Wolf Park, and we howled with the wolves and the coyotes there, and we felt a little vindicated.
There you go.
So, and it was a beautiful experience.
Just, you know, come down here and get your face licked.
I'm going to take them down. I'm going to pull the two of them down there, and believe me, they're going to get the experience of their life.
Now, where is Brookville, Indiana, in comparison?
We're in probably the southeast part of Indiana. We're pretty close to Cincinnati, Ohio.
By Cincinnati?
We're about 33 miles out of from there and about an hour and a half down from Indianapolis.
Okay.
So we're tucked back here in the holler, you know, and the neighbors will say, oh, we could hear your wolves from 5 miles away. And that's awesome.
Yeah, I would think that would be awesome. Better than traffic or motorcycles or, you know, something else. Or football games like we have in where we live. You can hear them across town.
Or gunshots.
Yeah. Gunshots too.
Oh, don't think the gunshots because they know that's for food.
Again, triple W. www.wolfcreekhabitat.org. You can find some great videos, lots of information. Kathy is with us. She is the owner of Wolf Creek Habitat in Brookville, Indiana. Kathy, you and Charlie are teaming up on this coat drive to help out the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And what is this all about from your perspective? Why did you get involved in this?
Well, we've been doing this for a few years, not so much that we've taken it out there, but there's been a woman that does a lot of things on, goes out to the reservation. During our Native American gathering, she actually brings jewelry that the children make, and she sells it here, and it never fails. We always have buckets and coats and bags and everything for her to take back with her when she goes to see them again. So when I met Charlie, really, believe me when I say this, probably 3 weeks ago.
That's right.
He called me.
That's right.
And I, somewhere in our conversation, we start talking about, you know, the Pine Ridge. And she hasn't looked back since, you know.
Yeah, she can. And she's like a wolf. Just, she gets a piece of deer in her mouth, and she doesn't let go.
Yeah. But you know, it's amazing. I just feel like I've known her all my life, and
you're a
I
great
always
person.
Believe that the Creator puts people together for a reason. So, you know, we're going to have to put up with each other for 2 days, riding in a truck, pull the trailer.
Yeah, we're driving. Tom doesn't know this part. Yeah, we're driving to Pine Ridge to deliver the coats ourselves.
You taking the mobile home?
No.
Oh,
we're,
okay.
We're driving my truck and pulling our big Wolf Creek Habitat trailer, and we're going to head over that way. And
she tells me today she doesn't know how to back the trailer up. Oh, good gosh.
This will be an adventure.
I think I'm going to have to practice in the field.
It's going to be called Thelma and Louise and the Wolves.
Yep.
Wow. Now, you were talking about you don't charge for the gathering. 39, you said 39 wolves, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And again, that has to be expensive to care for them. And obviously, you're taking care of them with veterinary expenses as well as food. And where does the funds come from, and how can people help you? It just seems like such a noble cause.
We don't need to charge for people to come up here and look at the wolves. The only thing we ask for is a donation of $50 if you want to go out and sit with the wolves. So, really, seriously, that is where we can buy their food, pay the electric bill, and anything like that. Otherwise, everything else is donations.
Do you find a lot of businesses and organizations willing to donate and help? Because when you think about it, you know, there's all these different charities out there. And one of the last things you would imagine being knocked on your door, hello, we're collecting for the wolves. I mean, you don't normally
right.
think of that.
Well, I say, really, organizations and the government and all that stuff, we don't get help from them. These are people that actually just have heard of us by word of mouth or have come here and see what we do. And that is where we get our donations, seriously, and it's amazing. I don't know how we do it.
Can they donate online?
Yes, we have a PayPal on our website that they can donate online, and every penny helps. It really, really does.
My husband
and I do this all by ourselves. We got volunteers that come in on the weekends when we're open to the public, but you know, it's a very humbling thing that we do here, and that's all I can say.
Kathy, the website so that they can check you out if they want to.
It's wolfcreekhabitat.org.
Wolfcreekhabitat.org. One last question, Kathy, and that is, how long do wolves live? I mean, what is the life expectancy, and is it different in the wild versus captivity?
Oh, heavens, yes. In the wild, they may live up to 6 years if, you know, if they're in a good place where they can hunt and stuff like that. These guys, our oldest has been 13. Our guys are big, and the bigger they are, the less their lifespan is. They get a lot of deer, and everything's handed to them. They're the most spoiled wolves on the planet. So with that, you know, these guys live longer, and they're of course they're healthier because They don't have to go hunt their food.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have fleas or ticks. Did you know that?
Yeah. They don't have
naturally,
that.
Naturally they don't?
Naturally right. They don't. Right. I was surprised to learn that.
We need to somehow get that gene and put it in our dogs.
I know.
Yeah.
My
that
dogs are always itching.
That would be amazing.
It's probably been bred out of them for years. But no, they don't. Their fur, like they've got their right now. So their fur's real thick. And even in the summer, their skin is and fur is too thick for any of that to penetrate. So that kind of makes it good. Now, if we could just get rid of the flies, we'd be really happy.
Well, we have to run. We're out of time. Okay. Kathy, thank you so much. And again,
thank you, Paul.
Thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, everyone calls me Paul. What the heck? I'm going to change my name.
Thanks, Kathy.
Tom.
Talk to you
soon.
I'll see
you soon. All right.
All right. WolfCreekHabitat.org. We heard the wolves howling their appreciation, Charlie, and thank you. And again,
thank you, boys.
We're going to set up an event page on Facebook for this with all the locations as they're added. Hobart High School right now, Hebron High School, Front Porch Music, and we're going to have more places to add. And I will be sending those out on Facebook since you're not on it.
Please help us.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.